He played the five of diamonds. Hugh played the two of diamonds, getting under. And Ashley, smiling in a puzzled way that suggested he didn't know just what the fuck he was doing, played void. Dead silence in the room. Then, smiling, I completed the trick, Ronnie's trick, by dropping the Queen of Spades on top of the other three cards. There was a soft sigh from around the card table, and when I looked up, I saw that the half-dozen spectators had become nearly a full dozen. David Dearborn leaned in the doorway, arms folded, frowning at us. Behind him, in the hall, was someone else, someone leaning on a pair of crutches. I suppose Deary had already checked his well-thumbed book of rules, Dormitory Regulations at the University of Maine, 1966-1967 edition, and had been disappointed to find there was none against playing cards, even when there was a stake involved. But you must believe me when I say his disappointment was nothing compared to Ronnie's. There are good losers in this world, there are sore losers, sulky losers, defiant losers, weepy losers, and then there are your down-and-out fuckhead losers. Ronnie was one of the down-and-out fuckhead type. His cheeks flushed pink on the skin and almost purple around his blemishes. His mouth thinned to a shadow, and I could see his jaws working as he chewed his lips. "Oh, gosh," Skip said. "Look who got hit with the shit." "Why'd you do that?" Ronnie burst out, ignoring Skip, ignoring everyone in the room but me. "Why'd you do that, you numb fuck?" I was bemused by the question and, let me admit this, absolutely delighted by his rage. "Well," I said, "according to Vince Lombardi, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Pay up, Ronnie." "You're queer," he said. "You're a fucking homo major domo. Who dealt that?" "Ashley," I said. "And if you want to call me a cheater, say it right out loud. Then I'm going to come around this table, grab you before you can run, and beat the snot out of you." "No one's beating the snot out of anyone on my floor," Deary said sharply from the doorway. But everyone ignored him. They were watching Ronnie and me. "I didn't call you a cheater. I just asked who dealt," Ronnie said. I could almost see him making the effort to pull himself together, to swallow the lump I'd fed him and smile as he did it. But there were tears of rage standing in his eyes. Big and bright green, those eyes were Ronnie's one redeeming feature. And beneath his earlobes, the points of his jaw went on bulging and relaxing. It was like watching twin hearts beat in the sides of his face. "Who gives a shit? You beat me by 10 points. That's 50 cents. Big fucking deal." I wasn't a big jock in high school like Skip Kirk. Debate and track had been my only extracurricular activities, and I'd never told anyone in my life that I'd beat the snot out of them. Ronnie seemed like a good place to start, though, and God knows I meant it. I think everyone else knew it, too. There was a huge wallop of adolescent adrenaline in the room. You could smell it, almost taste it. Part of me, a big part, wanted him to give me some more grief. Part of me wanted to stick it to him, wanted to stick it right up his ass.
This ends Disc 10.